and that relates to the sub D of this section 9, relating which states as follows, more or less, upon fair and reasonable determination by two-thirds vote of the board, blah, 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 the delegate exhibited conduct adverse and so forth, the KPFK lab wishes to have that stricken. If it's not stricken, then to at least ensure that the wording specifically states a due process, including notice and an opportunity to be heard publicly, including speaking on air to the listeners, be inserted as a due process protection relative to the removal of a delegate.
I'll second it.
Okay. Any discussion?
Why has this not come up before?
What has come up before in various drafts and discussions as to there being due process, so that if a person is being removed, they have an opportunity to have notice of the charges against them, an opportunity to be heard, an opportunity to speak to the listeners about the issue before the vote is taken.
This is Pete. Where would you suggest that is inserted in section 9?
In D, to add the following language.
Wouldn't that be applicable to E as well?
I'm sorry?
Wouldn't that be applicable to E as well?
Well, in E, I think you would send the recall ballot out with an argument pro and con.
No, I think it should be added in the body of the language after the letter designations at some point to essentially state that any delegate facing recall be provided notice and an opportunity to be heard publicly and on the air relative to the basis for recall.
All right, I seconded the motion. Is it open for discussion?
Oh, man.
I want to bring up an example of when you might have to remove a delegate.
Okay.
The national board is acting to remove a delegate. Let's suppose the delegate raped the station.
Oh, man, Carol.
No, I'm sorry. Let's suppose the delegate did something horrible. Raped somebody, a station staff member, and we cannot put the facts of this case before the public. There might be occasions where it would be completely improper to put the misconduct of the delegate into the public sphere.
Notice that the language of this says an opportunity to be heard publicly and on the air. Does not provide a dynamic whereby the board may force the issue to be put on the air.
Well, what about if I'm the rape victim?
I'm sorry.
I'm just trying to think of the most extreme example, but it is possible. It is possible that somebody could do something so atrocious and the victim would be victimized by having this put out on Pacifica's air.
Well, first of all, if somebody raped somebody else, you're going to call the police and the person's ass ought to be in jail. So I don't know why we're talking about removing them from the board.
The other thing I could add is we could put some language that's prefatory to the due process, the due process procedures. And then we can then decide what the situation is and make appropriate due process procedures depending on what the surrounding circumstances are.
Mm-hmm.
That would be my suggestion.
I like that.
What was the language that you would suggest in substitution?
In the event there is any recall or removal for delegates, that appropriate procedures to by due process and an opportunity to be heard and respond to the allegations will be made for any delegate who is up for removal.
Yeah.
And that's going to come after E in Section 9.
I think it applies both to E and D.
Right. So if somebody's put together a recall vote of a delegate and a ballot's going out, the delegate should be able to write his argument against recalling him.
Yeah, wasn't that part of the original language, though, by the way? I thought that was there already.
I don't know. Booth has so many drafts.
You might be right, Ryan.
Well, you know what? I cannot accept that substitute language. I would add this, however. Any member facing recall be given notice and an opportunity to be heard publicly and on the air, however, this does not permit the breach of personnel confidentiality.
Can you say that again?
Any member facing recall be given notice and an opportunity to be heard publicly and on the air. However, this does not permit the breach of personnel confidentiality.
It says originally the KPFA committee had said, provided further that said officer shall have a reasonable opportunity at said meeting to protest his or her removal.
So,
that was the original language.
Well, who would you want to protest
it? Yeah, but being able to protest your removal is like, it's not particularly specified due process.
Yeah.
I mean, notice an opportunity to be heard publicly and on the air is vital, but I agree that there is an issue relative to personnel confidentiality.
Well, it might not just be personnel. There could be slander issues here.
You could just say subject to reasonable restriction.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Ambiguity is a refuge of scoundrels, no offense.
But is it a contradiction in terms to say that they we have private issues and to say we want to have it on the air? Is it possible to do it on the air and still respect those issues?
No.
I mean, if the reason I'm being recalled is because I engage in inappropriate conduct with another individual, not staff, I think that if it's sufficient to support my removal, it should be sufficient for me to say, I mean, you cannot, by raising the level of the charge and raising and heightening the salaciousness of the charge, thereby ensure that it will never come before the public or the listeners, and thus effectuate a removal without due process. I think that if you're going to remove somebody from misconduct, then that needs to be able to be addressed. Otherwise, the person making the charge controls the level of due process.
No, I do agree with that 100%. I'm just wondering whether doing it on the air is the appropriate way.
Yeah, David, I'm trying to understand the sort of what you're trying to assure will happen in this process. I mean, let's say you have somebody that starts a fight, you know, and the lab decides, the local board decides they're going to remove him. Why should that be something that goes on the air?
And how long will that last? He started a fight, goodness gracious, in Pacifica, of course that's not going to be a problem. But let's think of something more realistic. Let's say my name is John Doe, and I'm on the board, and I'm refusing, and I'm sent to the national board to vote a certain way, and the national board says, we're going to roll up the ladder on lab appointments to national board. And I say, that's cool, I can go with that. And the local board says, you know what, we're jerking your chain. You're coming
back,
we're recalling you.
We're talking about removing local board delegates.
Yeah.
Right. Well, we're not talking about removing the national board.
It's a different issue.
Well, no, it's not really a different issue. Let's say that I'm doing something that a majority of the board thinks is disruptive and they don't like it because I'm making the same motion over and over again, or for some reason politically I've pissed off enough people that they want to remove me just because they don't like me.
But one other point.
I want to be able to stand up and say, wait a second, the real reason you're doing this is because I'm for democracy and diversity and they're a bunch of Nazis or whatever. In other words, some kind of political fight that can manifest into it. But let's say that instead of saying that the reason they're getting rid of me is because I'm disruptive, let's say it's because I've engaged in inappropriate sexual conduct towards one of them, and thereby doing that, they prevent me the opportunity from saying, wait a second, that's not the real issue. The real issue is they don't like my voting or my body.
And Dave, you've raised a very good point, because my understanding of the current draft in front of us is if you are removed as a delegate, you are removed as a director at the same time.
That's correct.
Yeah, one is the other, right. But my point is, it's the process. And I, again, don't want to be giving a solution in search of a problem, but I think that we have seen issues where these sort of dynamics have arisen.
Well, I like Kevin's suggestion.
I do, too.
I think Kevin's suggestion is reasonable, and it gives the local board or the national board or whoever's doing this removing the ability to use their good judgment. Obviously, we're not going to go on the air with some salacious murder story.
And pre-programming.
and there are cases where you're just not going to go on the air, and the board's just going to have to decide that. Reasonable opportunity to be heard, or reasonable due process, or something seems fine to me.
Okay, well, the motion on the table is any member facing recall be given notice and an opportunity to be heard publicly and on the air, unless to do so would breach personal confidentiality.
Ah.
That's my motion. It's on the table. It was seconded, and the fact is that Kevin has offered other language, which may be considered in the event this one fails.
All right.
But let's proceed on this vote. Is any objection?
No.
Okay, Carol?
No.
Rob?
No.
Pete?
Yes.
Janice?
No.
Teresa?
No.
George?
No.
All vote yes. And the motion fails. Okay, is there any other motion?
Yeah, I'd like
it to vote.
I'm sorry,
yeah,
Ray.
Yeah, you'll hang on the phone.
Excuse me, Ray, I'm sorry.
A great failure. Yeah, no, but no. Maybe
you
could present an amended version.
I'd like to make a motion that we include the language that Kevin was saying.
Kevin, could you read?
The term reasonable holds water in legal setting that way?
Yeah, I think what I would propose that in the event of a removal that the delegate shall be entitled to reasonable due process to be heard consistent with appropriate procedures determined by the lab or the board or whoever.
Yeah, I like that. I'll second it.
Mrs. Ray, what does reasonable mean in this case? Common practice?
There is no common practice. In
I mean, what is reasonable in this case?
Well, Ray,
the due process should be developed in response to what the allegation is.
Yeah, because I think what's reasonable is going to be what the specific facts are, Ray.
Okay, so the motion on the table is that in the event of a removal proceeding, the member will be afforded reasonable and appropriate procedures to ensure due process, or words to that effect, correct?
Yes.
Okay.
Any discussion? Okay. No discussion. The question is the question called?
Call the question, yeah.
Thank you. Carol?
Yeah.
Rob?
Yes.
Pete?
Yes.
Janice?
Yes.
Teresa?
Yes.
George? Okay, Ray?
Yes.
Okay, and I don't need to vote.
How many? I'm sorry, I
that's
lost.
Carol, Rob, Pete, Janice, Teresa, and Ray voting yes. George is not present, and the chair needs not vote.
You're abstaining.
It's 6-0.
I'm sorry, folks. I apologize, but on this section, I thought, and I'm either crazy or I don't know what, that there was another way to remove the delegate, which was by the local board itself. Here we've got the national board doing it and the members doing it. I thought the local board had the same right as the national board to do it. And that would save a lot of problems because the local board could handle its problem locally.
I thought we did, too.
Yeah, and I don't know how it got out of there. It's just I don't know.
Is there a motion?
Maybe this is a typo. Upon the fair and reasonable determination by a two-thirds vote of the board of directors, maybe that should just be LSB.
Well, I think we need to have both, because if the local board will not solve its problem and it is posing legal problems for the foundation, the board of directors would have to be able to step in and do it. But
you
I think we need both.
Okay.
Yeah, that's my motion, is that we insert that.
Carol, isn't that language present when we're discussing local board?
Yeah, we're talking about removing a local board delegate.
Okay.
Yeah, I'm saying,
that's where we are now, Ray.
The local board delegate should be able to be removed by the local board or the national board.
So you would insert after by a two-thirds vote of the local station board or the board of directors, et cetera.
Yeah.
So insert after the word, the phrase two-thirds vote of the local station board or... And then the board of directors.
Mm-hmm.
Everyone on the same page on that?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And I think, I'm sorry also, but scanning this, it should be of the full board, not of those present and voting. It's a serious matter to remove somebody.
Mm-hmm.
What if you can't get a quorum, full board? Shouldn't a quorum be sufficient?
Well, if you can't get the whole board there, you would still have to have that number of votes that would constitute two-thirds majority of it. So, for instance, you'd have to have 18 votes to remove the delegate. Is that two-thirds of 24?
So it seems almost like you have two motions here, Carol, if you don't mind me suggesting.
Well, I'm trying to clarify what I'm proposing. One, there was no objection to the local board doing it.
Mm-hmm.
The number of votes required... should be the number that equals two-thirds of the body. The two-thirds of the body doesn't have to be present, but you need that number of votes. That's something I've seen fairly often in other situations.
And the rest should be done by proxy?
No. No proxy. We're here at a board meeting voting.
Okay, I'm missing something. I'm sorry, I'm driving. So you'll be two-thirds of those present or two-thirds of the whole body?
The whole body.
So therefore, no surgery could take place unless two-thirds of the body is present.
That's right.
No, unless two-thirds of them vote to remove.
So it's two-thirds of the authorized number of directors. So if you have an authorized number of 24 delegates, even if only a quorum shows up, of the ones who vote in favor of it, the number still has to be equal to two.
You both have at least 16 votes,
which means 16 people.
16, yeah.
By.
Right.
16 votes would remove.
Okay, I'm going to exercise my authority as chair and bifurcate the issue. The first issue is adding the reference to local station boards under sub D so that a two-thirds vote of either local station boards or the board of directors. And then the second issue will be whether it's all qualified to vote or all present voting.
Okay.
So on the first issue, I will just ask if there's any objection to adding a local station board. If there's any objection, we will then go to a roll call vote. Is that fair?
Repeat that, please.
I will ask if there's any objection to adding a local station board in that phrasing to permit their removal, similar to the process afforded the board of directors. So under D of Section 9 of Article 4, under sub D, adding after the phrase by a two-thirds vote of, add the phrase the local station board or they're continuing to the board of directors. So it would read by a two-thirds vote of the local station board or the board of directors. Now, is there any objection to that insertion? Hearing none, that insertion, unless there's any objection to me doing it in this methodology.
No, just keep going, Dave.
Next is now to change the phrasing where it says present and voting at a meeting on said issue, change it to local station boards or board of directors qualified to vote.
Well, how is that usually worded? Two-thirds vote of the entire body? Is that how it's usually phrased?
What phrasing would you suggest, Kevin?
Kevin?
Well, usually it's actually the majority of the 24. You've got to, no matter what the quorum is, you still got to have at least the majority of the people saying we want them gone, not two-thirds.
So majority of the full board.
Yeah, but at this place where...
That situation would be 13, which would be the majority.
Well, we're saying two-thirds, so that's not the issue. The issue is the wording. Do we say of all qualified to vote or of the number 24 or what have you?
Yeah, we're going to two-thirds of the whole body.
I would suggest we say of all those qualified to vote, because there may be 23 because someone recently resigned hasn't been refilled yet.
Yeah, that's the issue. If there's a vacancy.
Was qualified and eligible to vote. Any objection to that as a motion? Hearing none. The motion on the table is to change the phrasing where it says present and voting at a meeting on said issue to two-thirds vote of the local station board of board of directors qualified to vote.
Right.
On said issue.
Okay.
Okay, no objection, and is there a second?
Second.
Okay, any discussion? Hearing none, roll call vote.
No, this is Ray. So the mechanism would be that any meeting that doesn't have the required amount of members would just have to be postponed. And I guess there will be a special effort made for it to happen next time, or...
For example, you need to have at least 16 people show up at an LSB meeting, and all and they would all have to vote in order to achieve the two-thirds.
But this could be a phone meeting,
by the way. And I support the sentiment that we don't make it too easy. I'm just concerned how it works practically, that people keep showing up and they don't have the two-thirds, and then the thing is postponed again.
Well, then the removal is not occurring. The point is how high a threshold do we want? And that's realistic.
Yeah. Okay.
Can it be a telephone meeting?
It's possible.
I would rather not.
I see no constraints against it in the wording.
You know, if there's enough support for removing that delegate, people will show up.
Yeah.
If there is not, they won't.
Or maybe they shouldn't vote against it.
It's a fair question. How high a threshold do you want? That's the issue before us.
Yeah.
Any further discussion? Okay, hearing no further discussion, is the question called?
Yes.
Okay, hearing no objection, we will begin the roll call. This would modify section...
Why don't you just ask if there's any objection to it and save time? I don't think there is.
Is there any objection to this proposal whatsoever? Would there be any nay votes were opposed? Hearing none, it's unanimously passed. No objection? Next issue. Next issue, please.
Boy.
All right, moving on to Section 10 of Article 4. This is filling of vacancies. We were asked to refine this language to make it clear on how the local station boards would fill a delegate seat that was vacated midterm, pursuant probably to something that happened under Section 9. The suggestion which was given to us is that in the event that a seat is vacated, that the local station board would look at the results of its last election and pick from that list the party who would be then based on the next highest vote.
Makes sense.
Does that make sense?
Right, except our elections, single transferable voting expert says it's not the highest number of votes, it's the highest ranked candidate.
Right, based on the highest ranked candidate. So
yeah.
We'll have to clarify that language.
Yeah.
Okay, is there any objection to that clarification relative to highest ranking as opposed to highest vote gain?
It's just a technical thing, Dave.
Right.
Does it mean the same thing?
It means the same thing. It means the person who would have been next elected.
Right. Everyone understand that?
Yeah.
No objection? Next issue?
The next changes were made in Section 12. We basically added language about proxies because it's our understanding that she did not want the delegates to vote via proxies.
Yeah, delegates can't vote via proxies, right.
May I inquire of the attorney, please? Kevin?
I don't think we have a statute.
Or Erica?
We don't have a statutory prohibition from doing it.
It doesn't seem to be.
No,
yeah.
Okay.
Okay, so it's okay with the board. It's just with the members.
Yeah.
Okay.
Next issue.
Moving on to Section 13, we were asked to add in language to allow local station boards to create advisory committees based on things referenced earlier under their authorities and powers. So we drafted Section 3 to be consistent with the language set forth further on board's ability to establish committees. But in this case, they can only establish advisory committees.
Right.
And one of the suggestions I think we would have on the C reference is perhaps have an election committee, perhaps even have a diversity committee established.
Mm-hmm.
We've got, yeah. You want that in the bylaws rather than just being an ad hoc committee?
I think that if we put it in the bylaws, that people would realize that we are taking this issue seriously.
Okay. There's a proposal coming up about diversity committees later.
Mm-hmm.
We haven't gotten to it.
Okay,
so are you suggesting that under 13C we add diversity committee?
I was suggesting we maybe have an election committee at least, and then perhaps a diversity committee as well.
Okay.
Well, I was going to suggest that, but yes.
Here and under C, we're not listing the committees of the local board. We're saying they can create committees.
Well, it's what Kevin is suggesting that we do...
I thought Kevin was referring to the national board.
I'm sorry, I am talking about the national
board. Oh.
So, yeah, here on local station advisory board committees, we haven't listed what committees they can have.
But no.
I'm sorry, I fast forwarded. I was really talking about the national board.
Yeah,
okay.
Wishful thinking, wish
okay,
we were there.
Okay, Section 13 then, is there any problems with any concerns about Section 13?
No.
And Section 14, I believe, Carol, you had some comments, or David Green did
let's see what David say. David said... David Green, bylaws. No, he withdrew that comment. It's okay. No problem. No problem there.
All right. Moving on to Article 5, the election of delegates. Section 1N is a section we added based on comments which desire a national election supervisor and local election supervisors to kind of sum up what the language is saying. It's saying each year in which there is an election for a local station board, that the board of directors will appoint a national election supervisor to oversee and certify the fairness of each local station board election and to confirm that said election is in compliance with these bylaws. That person's duties, I think it's important to note that the national election supervisor under this draft language shall not be an employee of the foundation or a local station board. It shall not be a delegate, officer, director, or an on-air personality for purposes of neutrality, and should be experienced with election procedures and supervision, and preferably a recommended by organization experience in election procedures and supervision. That's mostly because of the use of the single transferable voting method, so you want to make sure it's someone who's familiar with that process. This draft then allows the national election supervisor to select a local election supervisor for each of the local station boards to facilitate things on a local station board level. If you then flip to page 16, you know, we then talk about what the local election supervisors do. All the supervisors are entitled to create a committee of neutral volunteers to assist them with their duties under this process, and upon the completion and certification of the results for each of the elections, everyone's term as a supervisor ends. Comments, questions?
Any comments or questions on that?
Yeah. Go ahead, Ray.
Yeah, no, the question has been raised, I believe, by Larry Rumstead, to whether it would be desirable, maybe it's a board decision, to have this position paid position. Anybody has any feelings about that? You know, to guarantee that people will be able to allocate time in a serious fashion.
Is that a bylaws issue? I'm confused.
No, I was just clarifying what the spirit has behind it.
It's not
it is
good.
Not a...
I don't think it's a bylaws issue. I think if we can get free assistance from FairVote, that's better than paying them.
Sure.
There was some concerns expressed by the KPFK Local Advisory Board, and we were up to the wee hours last night working on this. The provision that both in Article 5, Section 1, both A and B, provides that the person doing this shall not be an employee or a board member, et cetera, director on their personality. But the volunteer members are not similarly constrained, and the KPFK lab felt that in both the national and local election supervisors that the committee of volunteer members also not be allowed to be employees, LSD, delegate officer, and so forth. So that language applied to the volunteer members as well.
Yeah, I have some language about that.
Could you propose it, please, Carol?
Yeah, I'm trying to find it. On-air personality should be stricken and should say,
excuse me, I've got to jump off for a minute. I'll call in a minute.
Thanks, Rob.
Call back. Be right back.
I'm sorry.
Well, Carol's looking for that.
Get there just a minute. What section or article and section are we in again?
It's Article 5,
1.
But while you're doing that, I just wanted to attend to one other small matter, and that is, I'm trying to fill Leslie's shoes in this procedural process. I am so sorry that I failed to note that we are, in fact, being aired, I'm quite certain, on KPFTX out of Houston, that you're listening to Pacifica Radio, and this is a meeting of the National Board of Directors related to the bylaws. And I wanted to thank so much Erica Kroes and Kevin Fink for the extraordinary amount of work that you've done under high pressure with such great results. As a person who's drafted many bylaws, I am very, very much in awe and appreciative of your work.
Okay, thank you. I found the language. Change on-air personality to Pacifica or staff members, for unpaid or unpaid.
To what?
Pacifica or radio station staff members, paid or unpaid. Basically, no employees or staff members, whether they're paid or unpaid. What we're trying to get is somebody who's independent.
Nor any LSD delegate or officer.
Or a national board member or employee of Pacifica or station staff, paid or unpaid.
My point is that, okay, well, so the language you propose exactly is?
Change on-air personality to Pacifica or radio station staff member, paren, paid or unpaid.
What line is this on, Noné?
Page 16.
Get it on my
Section 1, A and B. Now, are you including in this that this should also apply to the committee of volunteers?
No. It's the supervisors.
And it's for national and local, correct?
Right. We're here having a local station board election. The supervisor, there's a national supervisor and a local supervisor. They're not any of those people. They can form a committee and they can choose committee members based on their judgment that they're neutral, but the supervisor is...
The change of phrase, on-air personality, where it appears in Section 1 A and B,
yeah,
to Pacifica Foundation staff members paid or unpaid.
Yeah, or radio station.
Well, Pacifica Foundation staff member covers the whole thing.
Okay. Right? Any objection to that?
Hearing no objection, that change is implemented and inferred into the draft in both Article 5, Section 1A and Article 5, Section 1B.
Okay.
And I will reiterate the concern raised by the KPFK Local Advisory Board that the reference to the fact that the election supervisor, whether local or national, may appoint a committee of volunteer members, but that the members also, quote, shall not be an employee of the foundation or a LSD, a delegate officer, a director, or a Pacifica Foundation staff member paid or unpaid. And that's the position of the KPFK Local Advisory Board, that be inserted in both sections.
Do you want to make a motion?
So A and B, that's my motion. Or that's the motion from the KPFK Local Advisory Board. Is there a second? Oh, come on, folks. Okay. Lacking a second, the motion fails. The next issue, please, Erica.
Moving on. Section 2, the nomination of delegates, we just revised Section 2A to remove that that previously prohibited individuals who served as a, who had held an elected or appointed office for exceeding 3 years. Now, that restriction does not apply to anyone who wants to run as a delegate.
Mm-hmm. Okay, I have something that's come out of both WBAI and KPFA.
Mm-hmm.
Under eligibility.
Yes.
One, any listener sponsor member in good standing, either put a comma here or a paren, except station management or Pacifica staff members, may be nominated for the position of delegate. This is necessary because station management and Pacifica National staff are eligible to be listener sponsors, but we want to restrict them from serving as listener sponsor delegates.
So the language you're proposing again, please?
Any listener sponsor member in good standing, comma, except radio station management or Pacifica staff members, comma, may be nominated for the position of delegate on an LSB radio station with which she is affiliated.
Am I the only one getting a lot of static?
I'm going to try changing phones. It might be me.
On the petition form signed by 15 listener sponsor members. Is there any objection to that?
Can you read it one more time?
All right. This is nomination. Eligible to be nominated to be a listener-sponsor delegate on the local board. Any listener-sponsor member in good standing, except radio station management or Pacifica staff members, may be nominated for the position of delegate on an LSD.
I'm just very much confused as to why this has not come up before. Why are we discussing this now?
This is a loophole somebody discovered.
So you're saying management can't run as listener sponsor board member?
Delegate, no.
Right. Is there any objection to that? No objection? Hearing none? I will assert that the matter has been deemed accepted and incorporated into the current draft. No objection to that? Fine. Next issue. We're on Article 5, Section 2, eligibility, nomination of delegates. No issues?
The next one is subsection B, nomination procedures. That section was just changed to be consistent with the election supervisor section. Those are minor changes. Section 3, the election of delegates.
One change. At the end of that paragraph under nomination procedures, it should be EG instead of IE.
Moving on to Section 3.
Are we doing Section 2? I'm sorry. I have some language proposal. It's rather long, but did we read nomination for the office of delegate on the LSB shall be open? Well, I won't read the whole thing. For a period of 60 days, beginning on the date, on that date, which is 95 days. Well, anyway,
we've
the idea is that...
We've got a time frame later.
I'm sorry?
We've got a time frame later.
Right. I stress that language because time frame is now covered under Section 4 on page 17.
Okay. All right, then.
Okay. On Section 3 on page 17... That section was revised to add in an option to allow voting by Internet at the board's discretion. Also, mimic the fact that there shall be a total of 24 delegates on each board and how those numbers spread out, and to address the issue of how many delegates are voted each year over the three-year period.
Okay, and I'm instructed by the KPFA Local Advisory Board to re-raise the issue of having elections every year. So the KPFA Local Advisory Board was very, very strong in its insistence that the elections occur every year of 3 years instead of the second year off. So
I received the same communication from KPFC. They believe in the rule of thirds, electing a third of the local boards each year. The national board voted against that and said we wanted to do it 2 years in a row with one law.
What was the last part of what you said, Carol?
The national board's draw poll was not to hold local board elections every year, but to do them 2 years in a row, electing half the board each time and take the third year off. Two station boards are very unhappy with that, Houston and Los Angeles. They want and believe that electing the board a third at a time, 3 years in a row, is a better way to do it.
Did any, Dave, you were there, and I guess Teresa, did anybody mention to these two labs that this really is time-consuming and expensive?
You can imagine I argued it quite extensively. However, the principle of the rule of thirds was noted that, indeed, with the current construct, virtually half, or literally half, of the local board is elected at any given time, thus defeating the notion of a rule of thirds whereby no majority could suddenly take a hold in an election. And further, they argued, I think rather cogently, that while having elections is costly and time-consuming, it is also largely volunteer-driven, and it is invigorating of membership and involvement. So these are the fundamental arguments I felt persuasive towards that end. I certainly am sensitive to the expense and time consumption, however, but I'm, you know, I think KPFK Lab and the KPFC Lab feel very strongly about this. I don't know how A, I, and W feels about it.
Well, I can tell you on KPFA that we are of two minds. One, if you elect half, you have a larger number of seats to fill and single transferable voting. You get more diversity the more seats you fill in every vote. So electing half would be nine.
Hey, it's Rob. I'm back. I'm sorry.
Electing half would be nine. Electing a third would be six. If you have nine seats you're electing, you tend to get deeper into the diversity that we all want. So that's one reason why KPFA likes electing half. Also, we've done two elections, and we know how much work it is. It is a tremendous amount of work. So I would say our lab overall doesn't object to electing in half. On the other hand, each election cycle is a great opportunity for outreach, which is something we all want to do.
So I will place on the table a motion that we restore the election each year of 3 years.
Carol?
Is there a second?
Could I ask a...
Somebody wanted to ask me a question?
I wanted to ask a question. We voted at our lab, we voted on many, many things the other day. The three things that the lab is absolutely responsible for are the number of people on, a number of members on the lab,
mm-hmm.
and the PNB, and the nature of the election.
Manner of election.
The manner of election. Okay.
Right.
Manner
so
of election. Did you ask those labs if they would decline to pass the bylaws if we moved this to 2 out of 3 years?
No. You're on the KPFT lab. Have they told you whether or not they're going to pass the bylaws if it doesn't change to every 3 years?
See, the point of the matter, the point is that at our meeting Wednesday night, we were still discussing all kinds of things that, all kinds of things that didn't fall under these three categories. So we really didn't concentrate on how important this was.
Well, the notes that I got from Deb Shafto emphasize that this is of vital importance to the KPFT lab. I'm not there. I wasn't at the meeting. So this is an area that they do get to vote on. The manner of election, whether they're going to be elected in thirds or half, I think is the manner of election.
Well, I'll point out the labs are entitled to instruct their representatives on matters which the lab does not itself have.
KPFA would go either way.
Okay, so I placed a motion on the table that, excuse me.
How did you get here?
Ray?
Yes?
Excuse me, I'm sorry, we need to move forward. There's a motion, I placed a motion from the KPFK Local Advisory Board to restore the election in each of 3 years, and that motion is on the table.
I'll second it.
Because
I don't think we're going to pass bylaws. I think we're going to have trouble getting enough labs to vote for this if we don't do it. Two of the labs that we really need to approve, Houston and L.A., are...
But wait a minute. Some labs aren't more important than others. We need three out of five.
I'm not saying more important than others. I'm doing a political calculus of who is going to approve these bylaws. We need three labs.
Okay, so the motion is on the table. The motion is to restore the annual election each of 3 years, as opposed to having it one year, and then off. And there's been discussion. It's been seconded. And there's been discussion. Is there a motion to call the question?
Call the question.
Is there any objection to calling the question?
I object to calling the question. Because
okay.
I have something additional to say.
Okay. Go for it.
Go ahead.
I would just like to say that I was selected by the plaintiffs, and I have to think of what is proper for the foundation rather than you, Dave Fertig, who are couching your vote specifically on what your lab feels that you need to bring to the table. I have a feeling that it's financially draining at this time to have votes every elections every year. So that's where I'm coming from, and I'm coming from the point of view that I think in the best interest of the foundation, this is an issue for me.
This is Ray. Can I add something to that? The WBAI lab feels very strongly that, pretty much what counts is, first, that by having a larger pool, the diversity tends to be increased. Second, that it is extremely costly, and that it will be like those politicians now who start running, raising money the day after they get elected. That's all people will be doing. And that is the concern. So therefore, they have supported they would advise me to vote against that motion.
And I agree with everything Ray said, what Teresa said, and also the boards need to be about something other than elections. There needs to be, to me, there needs to be some emphasis on getting some business done other than thinking about about running for, I don't know. It just seems like this has been so consuming, and to set it up so that where this would be going on all the time just doesn't seem like this would move the foundation forward.
I have one thing I would like to say. I agree. I think it would be better for the foundation to do elections every 2 years in a row. However, I think it would be very damaging to the foundation for us to not pass bylaws. And I'm very concerned that so far I've never received any indication from the WBAI lab that they were going to approve any elections model that wasn't the constituency model. So I have never thought that they were going to vote for the bylaws. I may be mistaken, but that's the communication we've received so far. So that leaves four labs, and we need three of them, and two of them, Houston and Los Angeles, as far as the best information I have, want these elections every year.
Well, I'm going to do like Teresa. I'm going to try to do what I think is the right thing.
Yeah, but I'm saying I think the right thing for the foundation is to get these bylaws passed and not have to go back to Judge Zebra and litigate.
Any further discussion?
Well, I just had to ask a question to what Carl said, that we might have given the impression, I remember there was even a vote that might have looked like the BI lab would have stopped at the constituency model and no more. But that was in practice, though, that people have. I mean, most of the constituency model itself, by the way, included large portions of the KPFA model. So that the idea was to fight for as much as possible and rather than just being left out.
Okay.
Are we calling the question?
Call the question.
Any objection to calling the question?
No.
Okay. The motion is to restore the annual election provision. A yes vote would restore it to once every year, 3 years. Carol?
Oh, shoot. Come back to me.
Rob?
No.
Pete?
Yes.
Janice?
A no means to keep it at every 2 years?
Yes, one.
Keep it the way it is.
One, two. Yeah. I'm going to do the not every year. No.
Teresa?
No.
I'll vote yes. Ray?
No.
Carol?
I'm going to vote yes.
4-3. The motion fails.
What happened to me?
Oh, George, where'd you go, man?
I've been here the whole time.
You're sitting so low in the seat, I didn't see. I'm sorry. Excuse me, I apologize. I was using...
Well, what is
George,
your vote,
yes or no?
This is to have votes
every year instead of
not
one
for one-year
year
terms, but just have it... staggering...
3-year terms on the local station board, but the vote is the current construct is having elections 1 year, then 1 year, then off. The motion is to have it every year, so you have a third being elected each year. So the yes vote would be to restore the one election per year cycle as opposed to one and off. So yes is for every year. No,
I vote yes.
You vote yes.
And so what's the count, Dave?
The count is tied.
We have a tie.
No, it's not. I'm sorry. Excuse me. It's not. Don't laugh, Kevin. Okay, wait a second. Carol, yes. Rob, no.
Never happened before.
Yes. Excuse me.
Just call Carol, the question. Do the voice vote again, please.
Carol, yes. Rob, no. Pete, yes. Janice, no. Teresa, no. George, yes. Dave, yes. Ray, no. That's 5-4.
Five no's?
Oh.
Mm-mm.
Wait a second. Hold on. I'm sorry.
I'm sorry. You read it so fast, I'm not able to write that fast. Excuse me.
No, it is. I'm sorry. It is exactly tied, 4-4. Carol, yes. Rob, no. Pete, yes. Janice, no. Teresa, no. George, yes. David, yes. Ray, no. Excuse me, because I was on a page break. So it's 4-4. It's tied. So the motion failed.
All right. So we're sticking with every 2 years on.
Okay.
Okay, now, Erica, there's a little typo on the election time frame. Around,
there are a couple of typos.
Okay.
That one.
You just need to be counted all ballots. That sentence needs a period after the election close date.
Yes. I caught that one.
Okay.
You got an editor on board. This is a good thing.
No, I got some stuff at the end, but I'll save it. So.
And then also, if we're moving on to section 4, there is a phrase in there that actually should be removed. After the election close date, period, all ballots shall be held till the election close date.
No.
The following phrase should be removed the day after which they supposed to be the one.
I'm having some trouble hearing you, Erica.
No problem.
Who is talking?
Ray?
Ray?
Stop it.
Run the air, please. Let's take care of this. Okay.
On Section 4, page 17, after the phrase, to be counted, all votes must be received by the local station board on or before November 15th, election close date period. All ballots should be held still until the election close date. The phrase that follows should be deleted. That was coming from something else. The day.
It should be deleted?
Yes, the day. Just
the day.
Just the following phrase, the day after which they shall promptly be delivered via overnight express mail to the foundation's principal office. That phrase should be removed.
Okay.
Because we have language other places that says that where the ballots are going to be counted.
So it should be a period until the election close date period.
Right.
Okay.
Okay, so Ray, I really wish you could find some way to carry on your conversation somewhere else.
Can't
hear us.
What Carol mentioned about the problems with the balloting, we're going to probably have to change dates again.
Yeah, I have from our election supervisor.
Uh-huh.
The timetable he recommends is to rework the dates.
Okay.
Let me just run through it. The ballot should be counted by December 1st. The ballot should be received by November 15th, which gives them 15 days to count them. The ballot should be mailed to the members by October 15th, which gives a 30-day balloting period from October 15th to November 15th. You have a 45-day period. That's too long. Nominations should close by September 25th. That allows 3 weeks for layout and printing of the ballots. And nominations should open by July 25th, which is a 60-day nominations period.
Okay, could you just go from in chronological order, please?
All right, nominations open on July 25th. 60 days later, they close on September 25th. 3 weeks later, the ballots are mailed to the members on October 15th. 30 days later, actually it's 31 days later, on November 15th, all the ballots have to be received or they won't be counted if they're not received by November 15th. 15 days later, by December 1st, the ballots should be counted. That's what he recommends as a workable schedule that the volunteers can actually adhere to.
Where are we now, Section 4?
Ray, could I, since you're back, ask you if you're going to get off the call to have another conversation?
No, I'm...
Can you do something so that we don't have to hear it?
Yeah, it's very disruptive, and it's really important.
I didn't realize that before. I apologize for that.
It's great that you're able to...
I didn't know you were aware of it.
Okay, but you really need to be involved in the conversation.
I am involved. I'm just I'm a lead organizer. There's a place there, and I have organizers coming to me, but I just send them home. So,
but any of us, we have to step out for a while. We have to trust the rest of us to take care of work. We can't revisit everything all the time.
I understand. So can you tell me which section we're covering?
Section 4, election time frame.
Okay.
Okay, so is there any objection to the proposed language?
Well, I would propose that this be extended. I mean, Carol, if you remember that when we discussed this in the past, that you had allocated more time for campaigning that is allocated now. I mean, I'm assuming that having people elected is not just following procedures in a proper fashion, but it's also stimulating people and having the best people. You know, people being rich and so on, and the best people actually being our representative. So I'm really concerned that we just condense this completely.
Excuse me, what
non-workable model.
Is there a motion on the table relative to modification of the language of Article 5, Section 4?
What do you want to extend, Ray? The elections time frame from 30 to 45 days?
So no, I think the whole process should be moved by about 3 weeks. Otherwise, I think we're going to find ourselves in a situation where we'll have to extend it again anyway. But I'm really concerned particularly about the ability to have, for people to have time to campaign and present their point of view.
Well, I can give you our experience at KPFA. We announced a campaign schedule, including meetings around the station area. And we put carts on the air for each candidate to make a statement. And we scheduled airtime. And during that 30-day period, everybody got an opportunity to go around and be heard. And it worked out pretty well. Most of the neighborhood meetings were poorly attended. No more than 20 people showed up. So the real campaign, such as it was, took place either on the air or by the members reading the ballot statements. So we didn't see an advantage to extending that.
So didn't you allow 30-day periods for campaigning at KPFS during KPFS election?
Yep. I mean, basically, the nominations, you close the nominations and you get the ballots out 15 days later. During that whole period, the campaign is on. People can call meetings and invite candidates to speak, put carts on the air, you know. That was our experience, as it worked.
Is there a motion on the table, please?
I make a motion that this process be amended but the process will be moved back by about 3 weeks.
Moved back? You mean extending the nomination period or the voting period?
The voting period.
Okay, I have a substitute motion. I'll propose, and Ray, you may or may not feel that this is adequate, that we keep the vote open until a quorum is obtained. Because if we end the period and we didn't reach our 10% in a given single area, what do we do? We can't restart the whole election. So we need to have some, and this also would then ensure that once we've gotten the 10% votes, and I think it's relatively demonstrative of pretty good outreach. I don't know, Ray, if you would accept that.
I would accept that.
I'm sorry?
Kevin, what do you think of that? Is that workable?
I'm sorry. I was talking with Kevin. Please.
Yeah, I'm sorry.
My proposal was that in lieu of Ray's motion to just extend the expand the voting period of time by 3 weeks, that the voting period ends on or before November 15th, unless a quorum has not been obtained, in which case it remains open until such time as a quorum is obtained.
I'm confused. What are you talking about, a quorum?
10%.
You mean you're waiting to get 10% of the ballots back?
Yeah, if in a given single area we reached November 15th and we've only got 9% of the ballots back and we haven't reached a quorum, the vote is ostensibly of no effect. Thus, we need to ensure that it remains open so long as a quorum is obtained. A quorum may be obtained well before November 15th, in which case the voting continues.
Suppose you never get it. Suppose people don't send them back. Then what happens?
We close the station.
Well, our work would be to go out and convince people that it's important enough to participate.
I think the listeners go nuts until they vote because they're sick and tired of hearing about it on the air.
Now, that is one thing I agree with.
Okay, I have a technical question. Our bylaws require seating these people in December. We have this whole reporting period. I'd like to ask Kevin your professional opinion of holding the election open until we have a minimum required number of ballots. What happens if we don't get that number returned?